This Sunday felt a little bit different. And the reason why I say that, because Saturday felt different in studying. Now, I tried to get everything done before Saturday, but this was a pretty full week, so yesterday was the day where I was able to lock in and get prepared for this moment. And it just felt different, because I really felt like the direction I was trying to go, the Lord, man, for a couple hours, I was going. And then as I was through that, the Lord was like, okay, that's going to be for a few weeks later, but I needed you to have that down right now, so now let's get ready for tomorrow. I'm like, oh, great, you know. So, but I was grateful for that. And so as I shifted gears to really thinking about the day and just praying and asking the Lord to lay it upon my heart, there really wasn't a struggle where to go. I knew where to go. And when I got there, there was awesome confirmation. And so I believe that the Lord is really trying to speak to every single person. And I believe that every Sunday. But today is just one of those Sundays where I feel like it could just be me and each one of you, and I'd preach the same message, because this word is going to speak to your heart. There are hearts that need to be mended, hearts that need to be healed. There are bodies that need to be healed. There's bodies that need to be renewed and revived. You just need to have that greatness of God, that awareness of who He is, that awareness of what He is capable of, that awareness of how He feels about you. You need to have that really come alive in your life here today. So as we get into this word, I pray that you take it very personally. We're going to Isaiah. We're going to Isaiah 40. And yes, this was a word that was really a big portion of it was to the people of Judah. But it's also for every generation then, what's past, now, and what generations to come. So I want you to really receive this word personally. And when it comes time, will you yield to what the Holy Spirit would have you do, how He'd have you respond? Maybe it's coming and praying around the altar. Maybe it's praying with someone. Maybe it's just standing and lifting your hands straight before Him. Maybe it's laying before the Lord. Whatever it may be, will you allow the Lord to minister to you this morning? Because that's why we're here, right? You're not here for me to entertain you in preaching. You're here to receive what God wants to speak into your life, right? Father, in the name of Jesus, what an awesome morning. What a rich presence. We feel your anointing. We thank you, Father, Lord, for getting us to the point where we're ready to receive what you have for us. And I pray right now in Jesus' name, as we open the word of God, may our hearts be open and ready. And God, you do an awesome, mighty work. We thank you. We praise you in your name. Amen. The title of the message this morning is simply Unlimited. And the heart of it is pretty simple as well. Infinite wisdom and power, impossible made possible, love unending, Scripture says, grace upon grace, eternal in every sense. What I need you to know this morning is God has got your back. God's got you covered. No matter where you're at, Pastor Cody, and using his words, the journey, whatever you want to say, no matter where you're at, God has got you covered. When you wake up in the morning, He's with you, and He's got you. He knows what the day handles. He knows what the day, how you're going to have to handle it. When you're going through the day, those different circumstances, those things unseen, boy, He's got you covered. When you get back home in the evening, you're trying to relax and get your mind off things, boy, He's right there with you. When you lay your head to rest, His presence is right there with you. And His peace and His power and His joy and all that He wants to place inside of your life, He's always ever present and right there with us. I want you to consider these following passages as we think about the unlimited awesomeness of God. Psalm 147 and 5 says, "Great is our majestic and mighty Lord and abundant in strength. His understanding is inexhaustible," meaning it is infinite and boundless. You turn over into Paul's writings to the believers in Rome, in Romans chapter 11, verse 33, says, "Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are His judgments and decisions, and how unfathomable and untraceable are His ways." It's hard for you and I to wrap our minds around just the vastness of God and His might and His majesty and His glory and His strength. But wow, He gives us the opportunity to know Him in such a way. You go back over to Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17, and it says, "Oh, Lord God, behold, you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm. There is nothing too difficult. There is nothing too hard or too wonderful for you." We go into Luke, and this is the announcement of our birth of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And many of you can quote this. You know this, for it says, "For with God, nothing is or ever shall be impossible with God. With man it is, but with man it's impossible. With God, all things are possible," right? And then going back to to Paul praying for the believers here in Ephesians. Cody had us there a few moments ago, but in chapter 1, just a part of it, and he says, so that you will begin to know what the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his active spiritual power is in us who believe. He's praying for them that they would understand that. These are in accordance with the working of his mighty strength. When you go through the scripture and you find verses such as this, these verses alone should inspire us to trust God in every area of our lives. But I want to go a little bit further here today, and that's why I want to take you to Isaiah chapter 40. Perhaps this is one of the most encouraging and powerful passages of building our hope, increasing our strength, and reviving our heart. Now, I know it's already there behind you, but let me give you a little bit of foundation before we begin reading. In his writing in Isaiah, chapter 40 is where he makes the transition from judgment to a message of salvation and hope. Isaiah is very much a beautiful picture of Scripture in itself, as the first half represents the Old Testament, and then those last 26 chapters represent the New Testament of the hope and the message and the faith that we find in Jesus Christ. Now, in all of the chapters from 40 on, they contain some of Scripture's most insightful and inspiring words concerning the greatness of God and his redemptive plan for our lives. We know, we've come to understand that these prophetic words of Isaiah, they were written in the latter portion of his life. Now, for the people he's writing to, the people of Judah, it would be 150 years later that they would really receive this in a way that was going to comfort them and strengthen them. Because 150 years later from when this was written, they're going to be in Babylonian captivity. They're going to be in bondage. They're going to be those who are in that position, and they're going to die in bondage. There's going to be those where the babies are born in bondage, and that's all they've ever known. So they're going to have this heaviness upon them as they are in this captivity. So this word is given to them. This prophetic word is given to them to strengthen them, to encourage them, to help them to endure along the way, because what Isaiah is presenting to them, that there will be a day when God is going to raise up his people, that there will be a remnant of his people who will call upon his name in truth with a genuine heart. And as they do, God will come and he will revive them, and he will then take them out of captivity, and he will restore them. He will take them back to their land, the land that was promised to them. There they will rise up and they will remove all the pagan worship, and they'll begin to worship the Lord with all their heart. We see that in the history of Israel and Judah. We see this in the people. But he's telling them, hey, there's coming a day, but not just for that group of people, because yes, there's a lot of this writing that was specifically, the prophecy was fulfilled when they went into captivity and also when they was released. But also when you look at these chapters, including chapter 40, you see the prophetic word of Jesus Christ who's going to come on the scene. You see the prophetic ministry that he's going to have on the planet. But then you also see the prophetic word that's going to come at a time when the Lord is going to come and receive his church. So the reason why I tell you all that, when you read Isaiah, and you read these chapters from 40 on, and you see these words of hope and these words of encouragement and these words that are really inspiring their very inner being, let me tell you, they are timeless, because they spoke to the generation past. They speak to the generation today, and they'll speak to the generations to come. And I can tell you, if you're ever in a moment in your life where you just feel like you need God's might, you need his strength, you need to understand his greatness and how it's working in your life, pull Isaiah chapter 40 and begin to read it. If you read it on Monday and you feel the same way on Tuesday, read it again on Tuesday. Let me tell you, it is applicable for every day of your life. It is a powerful prophetic word, a beautiful prophetic word that is presented to us. Chapter 40 specifically is one of those ones that really speaks to us. As we go through it, there's a portion of it that many of you know and you can quote, especially when you get towards the end. But let's look at this entirety, this entire chapter. Isaiah chapter 40, verse number 1. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for her sins. A voice cries in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Now, for students of the word, and most of you would know this, that's the prophetic word that's pointing us to John the Baptist, as he is the forerunner of Jesus Christ. Verse 4. Every valley shall be lifted up, and every mountain and hill be made low. The uneven ground, it will become level, and the rough places a plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry, and I said, what shall I cry? All flesh is grass, and all its beauty is like the flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades when the breath of the Lord blows on it. Surely people are just like grass. The grass withers, the flower fades, but the word of our God, the word of our God will stand forever. Go on up to a high mountain, O Zion, herald of good news. Lift up your voice with strength, O Jerusalem, herald of good news. Lift it up, fear not. Say to the cities of Judah, behold your God. Behold, the Lord God comes with might, and his arm rules for him. Behold, his reward is with him, and his payment, his recompense before him. He will tend his flock like a shepherd. He will gather the lambs in his arms. He will carry them in his bosom, close to his heart, taking care of them and gently leading those that are with young. Verse 12, who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and marked off the heavens with a span and closed the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in a balance? Who has measured the Spirit of the Lord or man, what man shows him his counsel? Whom did he consult and who made him understand? Who taught him the path of justice and taught him the knowledge and showed him the way of understanding? Behold, the nations are like a drop from a bucket and are accounted as the dust on the scales. Behold, he takes up the coastlands like fine dust. Lebanon would not suffice for fuel, nor are its beasts enough for a burnt offering. All the nations are as nothing before him. They are counted by him as less than nothing and emptiness. To whom then will you liken God? Or what likeness compares with him? Verse 19. An idol? An idol? Will that be it? A craftsman cast it, and a goldsmith overlays it with gold and cast it for silver chains? He who is too impoverished for an offering chooses wood that will not rot. He seeks out a skillful craftsman to set up an idol that will not move. Verse 21, because people will look for a lot of things, but there's only one thing that's going to change their heart. There's only one being. Verse 21, do you not know? Do you not hear? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them like a tent to dwell in, who brings princesses to nothing and makes the rulers of the earth as emptiness. Scarcely are they planted, scarcely sown, scarcely has their stem taken root in the earth. And when he blows on them, they wither, and the tempest carries them like stubble. Just a little bit more as God has given to Isaiah a picture of who he is. To whom then will you compare me, that I should be like him, says the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high and see who created these. Look at the expanse. Look at the universe. Look at the stars. Look at the heavens. He who brings out their hosts by number, calling them all by name, by the greatness of his might, and because he is strong in power, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel? My way is hidden from the Lord, and my right is disregarded by my God. And let's wrap it up. Have you not known? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He does not faint. He does not grow weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the faint, and to him who has no might, he increases their strength. And even the young people, the youths, they shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But those who wait in the Lord, they shall what? Renew their strength. They will mount up with wings like eagles. They will run. They will not be weary. They shall walk, and they will not faint. I felt it was important to give you that entire chapter, because you need to see all of it surrounded on how we get to that incredibly powerful passage. Again, timeless words for every single person, past, present, and future. I want you to take these words personally. I want you to take this chapter personally and apply it to the circumstances in your life today. Whether you're on the mountaintop, in the valley, difficulties, whatever it may you take this and apply it to your life. Very specifically, I believe that God has prepared us for this moment. And in just a few moments, he's preparing us perhaps for the greatest thing today that will take place. And that's how you're going to respond to the reading of his word. And how you're going to respond to the power of his word. And how you're going to respond to that which he wants to speak into your life. I want to give you just a few things here that I see personally from this. And I know that you would have probably, yours may look a little bit different. But this is what I feel in my heart the Lord gave me as I was studying throughout the day yesterday. Blessings and promises of God for every believer when I read Isaiah chapter 40. And I've read it many times. I've needed to go there many times because I've needed to see who God is. And even though I know it, I just need to be reminded by the power of his word. Nothing speaks to us like the power of his word. It really resonates within us. So here's the things that I see. And I've got the verses there out to them for you to study a little bit later on if you'd like. But the first one is this, right out the gate, comfort to your inner being. I really zeroed in on that first part of the scripture. Hardship is coming to an end. I spoke this in the first service, and I'm speaking it to you because I felt like there was going to be individuals very specifically in both services, almost to the point where I can call you by name, but I'm not quite there yet of who it might be, but I know that you're here this morning, and I know that they're in both services, and I believe the word that I'm supposed to share with you is this: your hardship is coming to an end. That ongoing battle is coming to an end. That which you thought was never going to end, it's coming to an end. So I'm here to tell you this morning, as your pastor, don't just listen to me. Listen to what the Holy Spirit is speaking to your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to speak in me and through me to you, to get it to you, that if you'll just keep enduring and you'll keep looking and if you'll keep your face in the right place, and that is towards the Lord, you will see the light at the end of that tunnel. You will see that difficulty. And in church, I'm not just preaching. I believe it is a word that the Lord has given to me to give to you. And so I want you to hear it as such. I don't want it just to be a feel-good word. I feel like today in this place, if you will respond the way God wants you to, your hardship is coming to an end. So if that's yours, I highly encourage you to take it and embrace it. Embrace it. Goes on to say, sins are forgiven. Such comfort that we find in the Lord, such power in his presence, the way it comforts our inner being, the way that it comforts our soul, our heart, and our mind. We see that here in this passage. The second one, he gives us stability in our daily walk. Did you catch that in the scripture, how he's making the places level? And that's what that's showing us, is that no matter where we are at in life's journey, God gives us a secure footing to walk upon. And now we have Christ. He is the rock in which we stand. He is the rock in which we build upon. He is the cornerstone of the foundation which we build our lives. We walk with him daily. And because of that relationship, we walk with some security in our step. I don't know about you. In today's time, I need some stability in my step. I try to stay up with the current time just like you do. I'll turn the news on just for a little bit, and I'm like, here we go. What's it going to be today? And by the end of it, I'm like, man, thank you, Jesus, that I have your truth inside of me, because I don't know what it was I just heard. They keep me spinning all the time. They spin things so much, I just keep spinning. I'm like, Lord, guide me into what is right. Give me some security in my step in all areas of my life. You can take that and run with it. The third thing, we see here in verses 6, 7, and 8, and I was a little bit emphatic when I was reading it, and that is the truth of his everlasting word. His word, it has, it is, and it'll always stand. Everything else fades away. Our houses, our cars, our wealth, the things that we've collected. We had such a good time with the family this past week with, that story comes to mind, with Dude Falkenberry. We were sitting with the family there together, and they were telling me, you know, different things about him and his characteristics. And they said he was a collector, and they all started laughing. And Judy said, that's just a polite way to say that he was a hoarder. So anyway, it's like, no, there's a difference between collecting and hoarding, because he was resourceful. Because he took all those things, and he was going to do something with them. They're like, that's just a polite way of saying he was a tightwad. So anyway, I had such a good time with the family. It was good to laugh and just do that. But I just think about all the stuff we collect. It's going to fade away. But more than just stuff, all of our daily battles and those up and down emotions and all those things we've had to go through the years, all that's going to fade away. And at the end of the day, there we are with Jesus, the eternal word. with Jesus, our soul forever, with Jesus, worshiping and honoring him and living an eternal life as he sees for us. That's amen. Bless our babies. Amen. That's an amen right there. And hallelujah. You preach it, Pastor. Amen. That'll stand forever. All these other things, it won't. So keep your life in his word. Let me give you these last few, because I really feel in my spirit I want us to respond. That is verse 9. I see this courage to speak. To speak his truth, to proclaim his name. So cry aloud, shout out his name. God, in today's time, give us the courage. Yeah, I see this in a couple of ways. Give us the courage to speak his truth. Give us the courage to speak the testimony of Jesus Christ, to shine the light, to present the gospel message. But also, give us the courage to speak out in faith. Give us the courage to walk in that faith. Give us the courage to operate it. We have got to start speaking those words of faith over our lives, over our families, and over our homes. When the Lord drop something in your spirit, speak it out loud. Pray it out loud over your home. Pray it out loud over your spouse. Pray it out loud over your children and your grandchildren. You speak good things. You speak life. You speak blessings. You speak what God has given you. And don't let the enemy try to take you away from doing that. Don't let him put this fear in your life saying, oh, if you say it and it doesn't happen, you're going to look silly and you're going to look foolish. I don't care how it looks, because as long as I'm walking with God and speaking his truth with him, I will be standing at the end of the day. It may not always look like I think it's going to look. It may not always unfold like I think it's going to unfold, but I'm going to proclaim what he has placed inside of my life, and as I proclaim it, I'm going to believe it, I'm going to walk in it, and I'm going to expect it, and I'm going to praise him along the way. Amen? So when I read that, I'm like, yeah, give the people the courage. They're reading this while in bondage, oppression, death, slaves. And now they read this and they're saying, no, you proclaim this word over your lives. And for you and I today, as we read it, we have an enemy that would like for us to stay in bondage, would like for us to stay with a dead spirit, would like for us to stay defeated and with this heavenly oppression. But no, no, no. We're going to rise up and we're going to proclaim the truth of God, because the Holy Spirit has been given to us and we are empowered and encouraged to do so. So church, don't hold back. Don't hold back. I could rant with that one for a little bit. I got to go. Number 5, verses 10 and 11, what I see is the promise of nourishment and direction for life as we get that picture of the Lord being a shepherd to carry us, to guide us, to gently lead us. What that is for you and us is the Holy Spirit to nourish us, to guide us, to lead us. Number 6, wisdom and counsel from the ultimate authority of our Creator. When you read that one and you pick that all up from verses, for me, verses 12 through 26, when it's going through painting the picture of who God is, who gives him counsel, his greatness, how he holds everything in the span of his hand, when you really grab a hold of that, the picture that God has given to Isaiah to share with us is that nothing can stand against him, for our God is unlimited. He is unequal in every way. And so why wouldn't I go to him first for every matter of life? The last one, the one you know well, is that revived strength. And when you think about strength, think of it as such. Spiritually, to your inner being, emotionally, for all those emotions that we go through, and also physically. When it says that we will be revived and renewed in our strength, it's talking about our overall well-being. And I believe that one, as familiar as it is highly important today for you to receive from that. You see, I feel like there are those here today, certainly there needs to be some spiritual healing taking place. There needs some spiritual awakening, some spiritual revival. I certainly feel that in many of our lives, that we need to just allow God to do what he is, to awaken our spirits within. But I also feel there are those of you who've been wrestling with a lot of emotions, and you just need to be strengthened in that area of your life. And you need to allow God to really minister to you. You need to drop some of that oppression and that heaviness and maybe that sadness or that anger or that frustration, that anxiety. Man, again, you feel that anxiety in the air sometimes. So many people walking around with that. Let's let him renew the strength of our emotions, right? But also, let's not take for granted that sometimes we just need to be renewed in our strength of our physical bodies. This almost sounded silly when I said it in the first service, but then I was like, Lord, I'm just going to speak what you're giving me. Some of you just need to stop and allow God to physically refresh you. To refresh you, your mind, your heart, but just physically. I mean, just to get a good old sleep in Jesus Christ. Amen. Today, if I'm speaking to you, he set you up perfect, all right? I'm pretty confident we got beans and cornbread waiting for us at the house. And I'm like, praise Jesus. I'm ready. And then barbecue tonight. Men, come back tonight. Let's have a good time. I think we're even going to get the pickleball court out and see if Randy and Austin can show us how to play that game. All right, we're gonna have a good time. So come tonight. But some of you just need to not take that for granted. You just need to be physically strengthened and renewed. So as we go into prayer right now, I'm going to ask the worship team to come on out. And I'm going to ask them to take us back into that song. Years ago, I used this quote, and I probably said it a few times over, that spiritual problems require spiritual solutions. But allow me to say it like this today. All of life's issues require spiritual answers, spiritual solutions.